Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick. One of LSU's top basketball signees, 2025 Big East Player of the Year R.J. Lewis, was granted a preliminary injunction to play for the Tigers this season. Lewis declared for the 2025 NBA draft and signed two professional contracts, but will now be able to return to college basketball. One of his attorneys, Elliot Abrams, told WBRZ in Baton Rouge that the NCAA's rule against pro compensation that used to protect amateurism is arbitrary.
This is just a judge forcing the NCAA to live up to the law, as so many judges have had to do, because the NCAA has decided to try to draw distinctions that don't stand up to reason.
The ruling was not related to the lawsuits that allow fifth-year players to return under the new 5-for-5 eligibility model and is bringing ex-NFL players Daquan Wright and Xavier Harris to LSU. The Big Ten unanimously approved a new conference rule to not allow any former pro football players to play at any member school. The other Power Four conferences are also considering a similar rule, including the SEC. LRN.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless, LSU.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore confirmed that running back Ty Chandler will miss the season with a knee injury. New Orleans traded for 49ers running back Zamir White, who Moore says fits the offense well.
I think good vertical one-slash runner. You know, I think from his own standpoint, he'll transition really well here. What he was being asked to do in San Francisco will transition well here. And so I feel like it'll give him an opportunity to compete on Friday, and it'll be good.
He will see his first action as a Saint when New Orleans takes on the Cowboys in their final preseason game on Friday. LSU is less than 2 weeks out from its season opener versus Clemson, and despite both of the Tigers' leading rushers returning, a new face will likely take the first carry. Wisconsin transfer Dylan Jones has practiced with the first team this preseason. He says he came to LSU for competition, and the whole running back room has improved this offseason.
Being a big physical back, and then getting here, I've been able to, I'd say the strength staff got me faster. Being out there, just being able to play with speed really helped out my game a lot. And just decision-making, able to make a cut, hit the hole.
Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
Just having fun and we working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council, Boudreaux's Electrical Services, and Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Case Kieschnick and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and Case Kieschnick is our producer tonight. Glenn Gilbo is at the Celebration of Life Memorial for Skip Bertman, and we got a lot to talk about here as we got some breaking news just as we are set to come on the air. But we got a good show for you lined up. Chris Lowe from On3.com, he will join us a little bit later on in the show. We'll also hear from Brett Martell from the Associated Press. He was among several reporters in a Baton Rouge courtroom yesterday covering the R.J. Lewis hearing as he was granted another year of eligibility. Or was he? We're about ready to get into that discussion here in a second. And then a little bit later on, we'll talk with Reed Darcy, who covers women's basketball for The Advocate. And there is a very interesting story involving Kim Mulkey and her team with Kate Koval deciding to leave the program after LSU brought a Russian in to join the program. And, of course, Kate is from the Ukraine, and her dad is a member of the Ukraine Army. So a lot going on there. And we do have football, thankfully. Thankfully, football season is set to begin here in a couple of weeks, and Kind of looking forward to next week's show where we can actually start breaking down the LSU-Clemson game. But, man, a lot more to get to here over the what's happening outside or on the sidelines or away from the game itself. As many of you know, and by the way, we are cognizant of the fact that tonight is Skip Bertman, the memorial for or the celebration of life for Skip Bertman. If you missed our show last week, we dedicated basically the entire show to it. Great interviews there with Doug Thompson, Todd Walker, Ryan Terrio. I strongly encourage you to go back, whether on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast, and listen to it. It's
available on TigerRag.com.
And too. Available at TigerRag.com as well to listen to it. And we may, depending on how this show flows and what might may or may not be said tonight during the memorial, we may try to incorporate that. But we certainly took our time last week honoring the man who meant so much to LSU, Baton Rouge, and the state of Louisiana. But getting to our breaking news, Todd, I think we're all pretty much up to date as far as what's been going on here. LSU has been bringing in professional players, Daquan Wright, Xavien Harris. These were two guys that were on NFL rosters just earlier this month and now are committed to LSU, are set to sign at LSU if they have not signed already. And then RJ Lewis, who signed two contracts with NBA teams. He was given another year of eligibility yesterday by Judge Ron Johnson. Well, today the SEC and several, and really all the other leagues, have come out with strong statements and policies regarding professionals playing in college athletics, or those athletes who were involved in American professional sports leagues. And I'll read what the policy is that the SEC, this just came out about 10 minutes ago. An SEC institution is not permitted to have an athlete on its roster who has previously declared for the NFL, NBA, or WNBA draft and did not appropriately withdraw. So that would be targeting RJ Lewis for sure. Signed a contract with an NFL or other professional football league, NBA G League, or WNBA or affiliate team. That would be targeting Daquan Wright and Xavien Harris. Been listed on an NFL or other professional football league, NBA G League, or WNBA or affiliate roster. The commissioner is authorized to enforce this expectation with penalties against member institutions. Now, we do not know what the penalties are. No response just yet from LSU. Again, this came out minutes ago, but in the beginning, there was already a previously scheduled meeting involving the SEC presidents and ADs in Birmingham, which started today and will go into tomorrow. So Wade Roos and Virg Ausberry, we presume, are there, or whether they're...
I got a feeling they're at the Assembly Center today.
Yeah, they could be. Virg certainly could be there, for sure. But they're supposed to be there. This is a pretty big meeting, regardless.
I don't know if fellowship cares.
Well, okay. So that's where we're at this point. So based on this, RJ Lewis, Daquan Wright, Xavien Harris, if they play, it could result in penalties for LSU.
Yeah, that's what this says. Question, well, first of all, before we dig into it completely, I just want to say that I have, and you do too, about 20 pages of single-page spaced notes here that we were going to use as reference as we discuss this labyrinthal, detailed, sophisticated, complex, emotional subject. And just like John Steinbeck said in 1937, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Well, yeah, we are having to play this off the cuff because, as you said 10 minutes ago, the SEC basically said it ain't happening. What's not happening? They're basically saying the temporary restraining orders, the TROs, that were issued by the 19th Judicial District Court in Baton Rouge, freeing up 16 players. The session took place in the same courtrooms in Baton Rouge yesterday for RJ Lewis. None of those matter to the SEC. is what they're saying here. They're saying if you played pro sports at any level
in America,
at any level for any length of time, whether you actually participated in competition or it was just practice, if you were compensated, if you were contracted at any level, you cannot play and be on a roster right now. So mm-hmm. that eliminates, as you said, all three of those players, the two football players, as well as Lewis from the basketball team. My question is, what authority does the SEC have? What can they really do? Because what this whole question is, they're just a conference. They're not a league. They don't have real authority, and that's why they're in this situation to begin with, and that's why for the last 5 years, and certainly for the last 2 years, the state courts have been deciding the rules for the powerless, castrated NCAA. And now the Big Ten, the SEC, think that they don't like the way this feels, they don't like the way it tastes, they don't like the way it smells. And I'm with them. I don't like it either. But there are cases to be made that certain players made decisions because things were yanked out from under them in terms of rules, rule changes, opportunities. And those have only one place to be questioned and answered, and that is the courtroom.
All right, Case has got something for us.
Well, Todd, you said it yourself right there. Authority is the name here, and Ross Dellinger with Yahoo Sports is reporting that the SEC presidents granted Commissioner Greg Sankey full and unlimited authority, which includes suspending a school from competition if they violate these rules. Now, again, that's coming down to the SEC self-governing, which is what's been considered here for apparently years now, as Greg Sankey said at SEC Media Days. And whether or not that happens, we'll have to see. But that's how it lays right now.
And on Monday night, Ross Dellinger reported, the night before the SEC had this president's meeting, that the league's leaders unanimously, now I don't know if LSU abstained from it, but unanimously supported opposition to professional players returning to college, even releasing a statement decrying and such.
And I think that there's a lot of wordsmithing going on.
So let me ask you this. I don't mean to throw you off your train of thought.
That's okay. You do that all the time.
Is Wade Roos now gonna? Is Wade Roos going to turn around and tell Will Wade and Lane Kiffin these guys can't play?
No, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I can't get in Wade Roos's head and determine what he or Virgil.
Or is LSU going to go rogue?
I think that what LSU is going to do, I think the biggest hint, in case I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this too, but I think the biggest hint as to LSU, how LSU is going to react, is they're going to let this play out. They're going to let the laws, the rules, dictate what they do. Now, what this seems to me like, and what I mean by that, first of all, I'm jumping ahead, thinking too fast. If 10 days from now, there's another court case, another court situation, another court hearing, and the NCAA loses, the SEC has no authority over state law. All right? If that occurs in a state or an appellate court somewhere that is a district with multiple states and multiple jurisdictions in it, that carries a hell of a lot more weight than what the SEC or the Big Ten or even if the NCAA were to say something, and we've learned that. So I think LSU's just going to wait. I think Lane Kiffin indicated that yesterday. We're just going to play it by the rule, whatever happens.
Then what's the point of having conferences? Yeah. If they can't so you're telling me the SEC, I'm going to pick out a simple rule. If you rush the field after a game, what, schools get fined $250,000, $500,000, whatever the number is? You're telling me the schools don't have to pay that by law?
If you... I'm trying to think of a good analogy here, but a personalized one. If you were invoiced, if I invoiced you, sent you a bill for services rendered, whether it was a penalty or services rendered, whatever, for $100, okay? And then you took me to small claims court and you won the case, I wouldn't have to. You wouldn't have to pay me.
Okay, so schools all this time when they were fine. I'm just taking this particular rule because it's on the top of my head. All these time when LSU rushed the field against Ole Miss and beat them in 2024, they could have sued the SEC and said we're not paying.
They could have. You got a quarterback who's starting for Ole Miss this year, who was told by the NCAA and that under no circumstances was he allowed to play. His eligibility was up and finished. He went into a courtroom about the size of this room, a little bit larger, in Mississippi, and a favorable judge gave him a ruling, and he's the starting quarterback for a top 10 college football team right now.
The situation is different.
I would say that it's not different at that level.
I say it's different in the fact that we're talking about pro, entering pro. You have when you make the decision to decide that I am going to play for a professional team, that's it. You're done. Your college, that is the core. That's one of the core principles of being a college athlete, is someone that has not played in a professional league.
Jeff, I agree with you, okay? And this is what's weird, okay? This is what's hard to understand. I agree with you. The difference is for those players, whether they're basketball, and now the Lewis situation is a little different, and we can talk about that in greater detail or different detail later. But let's just focus on the three football players for LSU, or the two. Because the two that one that played for the Saints, one that played for the Browns, and whoever else he played for, all right, in preseason. They were told prior to June 23rd of this past year that their eligibility was up. The doors were, I said in my column, the doors were locked behind them. They did not have an option to return for a fifth year of eligibility. Then on June 23rd, the NCAA changed that rule.
Not for them.
For that date moving forward.
Right.
Right. But just because they went pro, all right, because they had the opportunity to do so, all right, versus another person in their same 2022 starting class that didn't have that opportunity, now they will be treated differently, as evidenced right here in these words. It doesn't say anything about the guy who left his eligibility and went and got an accounting job somewhere, or went and became a bank teller, or went and started in his engineering career. Now they want to come back. They can come back. They have a clearer path to come back under the TRO, and their school will not be fined. That is a problem. Okay? That discrepancy may seem small right now, but that is a problem, mainly because you're depriving those individuals not of an amateur opportunity to play football in Tiger Stadium or the Grove at Oxford or wherever. You're depriving them of literally, potentially hundreds of thousands, if not millions. Sam Levitt is supposedly making $6 million this year to be the quarterback for LSU. That is generational money.
Yeah.
And you cannot, that is the definition of antitrust. It's a violation. It's a problem. All right. And we may not like it. We may not like the way it feels. We may agree that if you go pro under whatever, life's tough, like you say. I agree with all that. But the bottom line is they have a question. They want it answered. They go to a judge like they're supposed to. And regardless of how we feel about the favoritism of local judges, the judges grant them the authority to continue their career, and the NCAA is paralyzed, and there's no difference between that and what happened with Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah, there is, because they turned pro.
No, there's not.
They're pro. They're professionals.
No,
they were professionals in Trinidad Chambliss.
No.
And when they signed their scholarship in class of 2022, they knew they had four years, and that's their 4 years were up. Goodbye. See you later.
That's a detail. That's not the principle.
Oh, so let's just ignore details?
No, I'm not saying that.
Yes,
I told
you
I agree. No,
yes.
I told you I agree with you. I agree with you.
But
they don't agree.
I don't think it's the same as Trinidad Chambliss.
And
I don't think Chambliss should be eligible either. I'm talking about the topic of the conversation is on professionals.
You know how it's different? One's an apple, another's an orange. They're both fruits. Okay. It's the same situation here. We're talking about college athletes that are compensated, and we're talking about a league. This doesn't happen in the NFL. It doesn't happen in Major League Baseball. It doesn't happen where there's authority. Okay. The SEC is acting like it has authority here, and it is touting authority from the presidents. And the reality of it is it's only an authority to the level that you accept it. If you have a question about it and the state of Louisiana contradicts it in the judicial system, guess who wins? The state of Louisiana. Because there is no league that has control. And what are they all scared of all the time? They're all scared of antitrust. All right? And that's huge, because that's what they're violating potentially here. Now, I could be wrong.
All right, we got to take our first break. I didn't mean to end it where you said you were wrong, but
no. Well, I could be wrong in the sense that the judges or the court could side for the NCAA or for the SEC or whatever. But there's still that opportunity.
All right, let's take our first break. We'll be back. More of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's Electrical Services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. Boudreaux's Electrical Services.com for more information.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-770-5322. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-770-5322. Call BCI Bath & Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-770-5322. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-770-5322. That's 800-770-5322.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio.
Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, as we're reacting to the big announcement made by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. And in case you're just joining us, it says that if you are an athlete that previously declared for the NFL, NBA, or WNBA draft and did not appropriate withdrawal, you're not eligible to play. If you sign a contract with an NFL team or an NBA G League team or a WNBA team, you're not allowed to play or been listed on an NFL roster or NBA G League roster. So that would mean, for LSU's perspective, that Daquan Wright and Xavien Harris, two players believed to be soon to be added to LSU's roster officially, would not be allowed to play under this new policy. And the same for RJ Lewis, who just won a recent court injunction, giving him another year of eligibility. Todd, me and you could probably go around and around in circles. I think the biggest question that could be asked here, and we only got 2 minutes before we hit the next break, and I asked it to you before, but now that we know the vote was, at least according to multiple reporters that are in the know, including Pete Thamel at ESPN, the vote was 16 to nothing. The president's backing this new policy. So I'm going to ask the question again. What does Wade Roos do? How could you vote for this policy and then tell Lane Kiffin and Will Wade, go ahead, keep playing Wright and Harris. Will, RJ Lewis is going to be your shooting guard this year. Go ahead, just do it.
I think that the answer to that question is what I said earlier, is that it will depend on what the climate is on that particular day with who has the authority. Right now, Wade Roos has
what I want to say, how bad of a look is that if you vote for this policy and then you let your two head coaches allow these players to play? How bad does that look?
Well, it may look horrible, but it's also following the rule.
But the rule is the SEC rule.
That's the SEC rule, and the SEC rule may be in contradiction to the latest court ruling. And the latest court ruling,
that's not a law. That's not a law. It's just the latest court ruling. You can appeal that ruling.
The latest court ruling is always going to hold more until the law is in place. There is no law right now.
It just looks bad.
That's the biggest problem. There is no law. The SEC is not a government.
I understand that.
The SEC is a conference.
But it just looks horrible.
I didn't say it doesn't look horrible. And I didn't say I like it.
I never did say that you liked it. We'll be back after this. Brett Martell from the AP will join us here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's electrical services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxElectricalServices.com for more information.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth-generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines. Everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Andrew Greenstein. SpaceX announces plans to build its largest rocket launching facility along the coast of Vermilion Parish.
Governor Jeff Landry says this is monumental.
SpaceX is committing $100 billion of capital investment.
In a social media post, SpaceX owner Elon Musk says Starbase Louisiana will have over a dozen launch towers, enabling more than 30 Starship flights per day that will support their Starlink satellite network and orbiting data centers. SpaceX President and Chief Operating Officer Gwen Shotwell says they are thinking big.
Starship will enable us to return Americans to the surface of the moon, along with NASA, and build a permanent moon base.
Construction begins next year, and rockets could start launching from Pecan Island as early as 2029. I'm Jeff Palermo.
SpaceX is planning a series of town halls in the near future to answer questions from residents. LRN.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
The Louisiana Republican Party makes its pick in the 6th Congressional District race, and that's raising some eyebrows. On Sunday, the executive committee endorsed Blake Miguez, who says he's humbled to have the state party's backing.
It's very much more meaningful for me to know that there are several members on the executive committee that live within Congressional District 6.
But Miguez's most formidable GOP opponent, Rick Edmond, says the executive committee made this selection despite the fact that he got more support from the state GOP Central Committee. A Baton Rouge judge grants LSU basketball signee R.J. Lewis a preliminary injunction allowing him to return to college basketball after he had signed two NBA and G League contracts. One of Lewis's attorneys, Elliot Abrams, told WBRZ in Baton Rouge that the NCAA is now essentially a professional sports league.
And then you start drawing these arbitrary distinctions and saying, well, this is too much or that's too much. All of these things, every time someone challenges an arbitrary decision of the NCAA cries wolf.
LRN.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and Case Kieschnick is our producer. Joining us now on the airline, on the hotline here is Brett Martell. But before we get to Brett, we've been talking about, obviously, we're talking about the big news that just broke minutes before we got on the air here tonight, and that is saying the new SEC policy that if you've declared for the NFL, NBA, or WNBA draft and did not appropriately withdraw, you're not eligible to play. If you sign a contract with the NFL, the NBA, G League, or WNBA, you're not allowed to play. If you've been listed on an NFL or NBA, G League, or WNBA, or affiliate roster, you're not allowed to play. RJ Lewis has been involved with two NBA franchises, and the Utah Jazz and the Boston Celtics, and he had his, he was granted a an injunction yesterday that allows him to play in 26-27 season, but case, there is still got to be a full hearing on his case, right?
As far as the, for RJ Lewis?
Yes, or for yes, the, yeah, for RJ Lewis, right? For RJ, or is it for the other, is it for the 16?
The temporary restraining.
Player. It's for the 33 players.
The 33 players with the temporary restraining order issued by the 19th Judicial District. There, that temporary restraining order is just that, temporary.
Right.
And it was issued for 10 days. And that expires, I believe, next Friday.
Okay.
Or this Friday, excuse me. And then on Monday, the 31st, the hearing in that case actually happens. So as of right now, disregarding any conference rules or what have you, those players can come back for that 10-day period, and then that hearing will actually decide their future.
Okay. And that's the one that's going to involve Daquan Wright, Xavier Harris, and Junior Tuli Haumaka. All right, let's bring in Brett Martell, who was in the courtroom yesterday for the OJ, for the RJ Lewis case.
For the OJ Simpson.
Brett, thanks a lot for joining us here on Tiger Rag Radio. First of all, what just kind of quickly give us the mood inside the courtroom yesterday as it was being debated on whether RJ Lewis, despite having signed professional NBA contracts with the Utah Jazz and Boston Celtics, fighting for another year of eligibility, it was his decision to go to the NBA or try to make an NBA team. He left college voluntarily, unlike the class of 2022. So give me your sense of just kind of what it was like inside the courtroom as the discussion and the debate and the arguments were being made.
Well, I would say that Tony Clayton, you know, a Baton Rouge area attorney, pretty well known, who represented R.J. Lewis Jr., he was very combative, kind of working in these little backhanded insults constantly of opposing counsel, and said, you know, there was a guy from Nashville representing the NCAA, and he kept referring to him as you know, the Nashville attorney, and I don't know how they do things in Tennessee, but you know, here, you know, we you know, expect it to be another way. So they were certainly emotional in their arguments and trying to move the judge in that regard, and it seemed to be somewhat effective. You know, and then of course in the gallery, there was the coaching staff. I mean, Will Wade was there, Stansberry was there, Johnny Jones was there. There were a couple of teammates that were there as well. Abdi Bashir was there, and I'm trying to remember the other one, but his name's eluding me at the moment. But anyway, so it was, you know, and when the ruling came down, and it took a long time for the judge to explain his ruling, you know, there were hugs all around, first between the two attorneys and RJ Lewis, and then with the player and the coaching staff. And they were all, you know, smiling widely in a very good mood, and it almost seemed like they were walking off, you know, walking away from the courthouse to celebrate on the, you know, as I saw them kind of go around the corner while I was trying to talk to Tony Clayton about, what the next steps were. And obviously this was a preliminary or temporary injunction as well. So he would have been allowed to play in practice as long as it took to reach a permanent ruling on that case. And it might have taken a long time because the attorneys for Luis had indicated that they had a lot of questions and a lot of discovery to go through before anything even got to trial. So,
well, Brett, let me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just
said all this is in doubt now with the SEC.
And we'll get into that in just a second. But I want to go back to yesterday because you were sitting there. I think it was roughly 5 hours. And forget about the legal filings and actually what happened just for a minute. But sitting in that courtroom with the atmosphere that you described, the players, the coaches, the Tony Clayton theatrics, if you will, the drama, when did you actually first get the feeling during that 5 hours that R.J. Lewis was going to win? Or did you?
I had no idea what the judge was going to say until I think it was very suspenseful as he was going through his rationale for his ruling, because he wasn't being definitive in either direction. He was just talking about the questions he had. Maybe there's one point in the middle of his ruling where he said that in the court's opinion, Luis had not actually played professional basketball. So that made me think, okay, he's leaning towards, siding with LSU and Luis here. But, then he talked about other questions in the case that were weighing heavily on him. And then right near the end of his ruling, he said that he also, I guess he was moved by this argument. I'm personally, like, to me, like, logically, I'm not sure how germane this argument was, but Luis's attorneys tried to make it clear that Luis was essentially advised to go to the NBA.
By?
By Patino, and wasn't really, didn't really understand
the ramifications.
That he wouldn't be able to that he wouldn't be able to come back to college. But he should have understood that.
I knew that when I was 6 years old. I mean, come on.
You're an exceptionally bright individual, Jeff, and we already know that.
Come on, man. I just think about it. He practices professionally.
Brett, that's the movement. That's the argument that you think moved Judge Johnson the most, or you had alluded to one earlier, which was because he never played in an actual game, that was the argument, or do you think it was one?
Right. I think it was mostly because he hadn't played in a game. The judge was concerned that there was, a gray area there where, generally players, like in the NFL, they call them game checks, right? So, you haven't really provided the service to your employer as a pro athlete unless you've played in a game. Everything else is just kind of covering expenses. And, especially if the money is not significant, right? I mean, it's one thing if you get like a $10 million signing bonus and then say, well, he never played. But in this case, he was saying he received a grand total of $89,000 and basically went into debt because, he had an injury and he ended up having to cover his own medical expenses. They were saying that he's kind of in a similar boat to a lot of the European professionals, the young guys that play on developmental teams in Europe, and they get paid, but it's basically just covering their expenses and they have a different system over there. But then they end up getting sort of an exception to play in college here. And Luis even had two teammates on his St. John's team in the 24-25 season that were exactly that. They had played professionally in Europe and then after that played for St. John's. And so, I think the judge, for a lot of reasons, felt like Luis was right to be, given his experience, very limited experience, having pro contracts and not getting a lot of money and essentially even going into debt, never playing in a game, and having had teammates who had also, played professionally and then ended up playing for St. John's, approved by the NCAA. I think the judge felt like that Luis it could be understood if he was confused about, the permanent nature of a situation, as a pro versus, who might be ineligible to come back to college. And also I think the judge was, kind of looking at the current landscape we're in, where there's all kinds of legal challenges going on. Trying to go back to college.
So we're going to have to wrap up here in just a second.
Hold on, Brett. Could you hold on for one more segment?
Sure, I can do that.
All right, we got to just take a two-minute break, come back, and we'll finish it up here with Brett Martell from the AP, who was inside the courtroom yesterday when R.J. Lewis, or Louise, was granted another year of eligibility. We'll be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-770-5322. BCI Bath & Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass-treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-770-5322. Call BCI Bath & Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-770-5322. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-770-5322. That's 800-770-5322.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air.
All right, let's quickly get back to our guest here, Brett Martell from the Associated Press, who's been covering Louisiana sports for a long time now, over a couple decades. He was in the courtroom yesterday when R.J. Lewis was granted another year of eligibility. Todd, you had a question that you wanted to ask, Brett.
Yeah. Brett, the Louise case, is it legally the same issue that we're talking about with Daquan Wright and Xavion Harris, who went pro in football and are now supposedly returning to LSU or coming to LSU through the transfer portal? Or are people making a mistake by lumping all these cases together?
I think they're similar, but not the same. There are certain practical similarities in that, you know, he was a pro who's coming back. But he left college early. Like, he had another year of eligibility.
So his eligibility was not exhausted. Those other two were.
Yeah. So there's an argument missing from him, which is that, well, they changed the system, you know. Although he could theoretically make that argument and said, well, if I knew I was going to have 2 years left to play in college and get paid all that, you know, what I can get paid in college instead of, you know, taking a chance on going to the pros and getting cut, I would have definitely stayed in college. So he could make that argument, but he would have had to make it. They did not make that argument, really. I mean, I think it came up momentarily. There seemed to be like a passing reference to the 5 for 5 thing, and I think it was Tony Clayton's way. I think he brought it up, and it was his way of just making the judge, like, making sure the judge was aware that there's all these cases going on, and they're all going the player's way.
Right. Well, so, to that point, are these courts deciding who should be eligible, or are they really reacting to inconsistencies in how the NCAA is applying its own rules?
Yeah, they're reacting to inconsistencies. They're not trying to decide who is eligible. They're trying to decide if the rules have been applied equitably to people, and if people have been denied opportunities that they might have taken had they, understood, you know, had they had all the information at the time they were forced to make a life-changing decision, essentially.
So, Brett, the big question is, what happens now that the SEC has issued this policy? And what's different about the SEC policy when it comes to professional athlete or athletes going pro and then coming back is that the SEC one is certainly directed at the R.J. Louis case because it says previously declared for the NFL, NBA, or WNBA draft, which RJ did. The Big Ten and the other leagues strictly go to football. So the SEC is certainly aware of the RJ Louis situation. What do you think happens? This was a policy that was supported by every president or chancellor in the league, including Wade Roos. So what's your take on how this transpires from here?
Well, I suspect that there could be lawsuits now naming the SEC as a defendant, depending on how desperate these guys are to try to come back and take advantage of college opportunities that were offered versus continuing to slog it out and, you know, work out on their own and hope they can get a, you know, and the NFL players, look, I covered the NFL since 2005, basically. I mean, players go in and out of the league all the time. They get invited to workouts. They get on practice squads. Practice squad is actually not a bad living. It's like a six-figure living, but it's not what some of them might get to be a star player in college for an SEC team. So, but essentially, you know, if they want it bad enough and the attorneys are willing to not, you know, charge, you know, take it on a contingency fee, essentially, like if you get the big college deal, then I get this amount. If you don't, then you don't have to pay as much. I mean, I don't really know how it's all going to work out, and that's up to the attorneys a lot to make it economical for the players to even accept these cases. But I think the attorneys love the exposure, right, because it promotes their brand as a lawyer. So I would expect to see, you know, maybe some legal challenges to the SEC ruling, you know, with the idea that it's not something that they would challenge going forward, but it's something they would challenge just this year because the SEC teams are competing in the NCAA, which just changed a rule, which, you know, means that players, like, is the same argument they made before, might have made a different decision about whether to turn pro or not if they had known this rule was coming. And so that would be the basis for the lawsuit, I would imagine. But there's, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. It's another layer of resistance now against the players and their lawyers to getting back in college.
Hey, Brett, this is Case. So let's say that lawsuit does get filed against the SEC by a player or a group of players, and they win that case. What's then to force an SEC school to enroll that player or sign that player to a team? Is there any way, like, what's the disconnect there between, okay, you win, you are eligible, but can't all of the SEC schools just agree we're not going to sign any former professional players?
Yes, I guess they can. And then you'd have a situation where, yeah, I mean, just imagine though, like, think about how much money and political capital is invested in someone like Lane Kiffin. And I mean, I guess he could be fired for cause and they wouldn't have to pay out his buyout if the president said, you know, we agreed to this SEC rule and you signed him anyway. You know, maybe. So maybe he wouldn't go there. And so maybe the practical effect is, yeah, like if all the presidents of the SEC members agreed to it, then the coaches aren't going to defy the presidents. They're not going to defy their individual institutions who pay them. And so that's that.
They could file for collusion. Oh, wait a minute. They're not collectively bargained.
But they still could file, and LSU and the SEC would be a part of the punitive damages if an antitrust suit was to be won.
Yeah.
And that would be criminal, too. So,
Brett, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I just think that would be hard to do with so many different conferences and so many different options. You know, I mean, not every conference has made that rule yet, so.
Yeah, they could go down to the FCS level. They could go to Division II. They could go to Division III. I mean, they could, you know, if they really wanted to play that bad, if that's what it was all about.
I doubt they could make that much money.
Oh, it's all about the money, Todd. Brett, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it. We'll have to check on you again later, but, man, what a fascinating time for sure. Thanks for your time tonight.
What? You got it. Take care. Great show, guys.
All right. That's Brett Martell from the Associated Press. Let's take our final break of the hour. Chris Lowe from ESPN joining us to begin hour number two. Can't wait to talk. Chris Lowe from On3.com. My fault. We'll talk with Chris a little bit later on in the show. So stay tuned. More coming up here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-CUMMINS, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-CUMMINS.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's electrical services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxsElectricalServices.com for more information.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Well, back here on Tiger Rag Radio, good stuff from Brent Martell and Chris Lowe from On3.com will join us in hour number two. We'll also talk with Reed Darcy, who covers LSU women's basketball for The Advocate, to get the latest on this Kate Koval story. But before we bring in Chris, LSU football camp is wrapping up here, Todd, and I think one of the biggest developments is that there have been no major injuries.
Ooh, man, where's the wood? Knock on the wood.
Well, you know there's eventually going to be injuries during the season.
Knock on the wood.
But there's been no abdominal injuries as far as we know.
Well, that's because you have a coach that knows how to run the practice. They may not be able to tackle when the game starts, but they won't be hurt.
But they've gone through this whole thing, and it seems like what do you make out of the conversation that Lane has had about, or some of the talking points about Sam Levitt? Man, he's been really pumping him up.
He's been high on Sam Levitt. And, you know, watching Sam Levitt throw against air, he's looked really good.
Yeah.
But the reports that have come out, especially from some of the former players secondhand, if not direct, who were at the scrimmage, said he has really looked good.
Yeah.
But not just passing deep, but his timing looks good. And they also say that he is running the ball well. And, you know, that's the biggest advantage that I think he's going to have overall, is the ability to add that dimension of being able to break out and run. He certainly did that at Arizona State 2 years ago before the injury early last season. So, and I think, you know, everybody knows that a running quarterback is important to a Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss coached offense.
All right, so this is going to wrap up hour number one. If you missed this hour and you want to listen back at it, you can check it out on YouTube later on tonight or anywhere where you get your podcast, or it'll also be posted to TigerRag.com as well. So an eventful hour number two coming up with Chris Lowe from On3.com and also Reed Darcy from The Advocate. So stay tuned. We got a lot more Tiger Rag Radio coming for you. We'll keep it mostly with Chris about football, but we certainly got to address
real football,
real football, X's and O's. Well, maybe not necessarily X's and O's, but the big talk, the outside of what's been happening in the courtroom. Well, we'll certainly ask one question on it and we'll move on. More of Tiger Rag Radio after this.